This is A Lost Plot, the podcast where we explore meaning in movies together. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It's another episode of A Lost Plot. I am your host, Maverick, and back with us again, we've got Avalon to co-host this wonderful meeting. Avalon, thanks for joining us.
Hello, hola, konnichiwa, and leho.
Now, today, we are reviewing the recent release of Ferrari. Now, before we get into that, we do want to just have a quick shout out to the people who listen on the podcast and leave us a review. So today we wanted to give a shout out to someone by the handle of Hey Hey Ray J 193842. Really appreciate your review you left. You said, I love movies, but never appreciated all the nuances in some of my favorite films. Great pod. So appreciate the love. If you're out there listening to the podcast, leaving us a review really makes a difference for a small podcast like ours. With that, let's get right back into the pod. As I said before, we're reviewing Ferrari with our very favorite Adam Driver here today. It's a 2023 sports biographical drama that's written by Troy Kennedy Martin. It's directed by Michael Mann, and it's based on the book Enzo Ferrari, The Man, The Cars, The Races, The Machine by Brock Yates. It stars Adam Driver, as I said before, as Enzo Ferrari, Penelope Cruz as Laura Ferrari, Shailene Woodley as Lena Lardy, and Gabriel Leone as Alfonso di Portago. A lot of the Italian names in this, so please forgive me if I trip myself up a bit on this one. But yeah.
You won't be the only one. I'll probably have trouble with the names too.
Well, why don't you go ahead and start us off with what this movie is about?
So Ferrari is about Enzo Ferrari, the founder of the Ferrari sports car company, which he founded with his wife like 10 years prior to the beginning of this movie. Mm-hmm. And this movie takes place about, I think, 1957 is the year this movie comes out. So it's relatively close to like World War II and some other like events. So, and also, I guess the year prior to the opening of this movie, Enzo and his wife's son died, or at least that's what. But anyways, the story is about how they're going through a little bit of financial hardship. Well, I guess a little bit more than that, but they're going through some financial hardship, and they're. Company is essentially about to go under unless they can figure out, get some financial backing support. So because they're so heavily race car oriented, being that, especially since Enzo Ferrari is a former race car driver, they're trying to win this, I guess it's a really long race. The Mille Miglia.
Yep.
Oh, and I guess it's a 1,000-mile race. The movie never says that, I don't think. But it's this really long race. If the Ferrari car can win the race, it'll help get them notice and publicity and also get them more people to buy the car, more or less. So that's their goal. That's what they're trying to do. And the movie is more or less the hardships they encounter along the way till the end of the race.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary.
It's like a snapshot in reality, this movie is a snapshot of Enzo Ferrari's life around the Mille Miglia of 1957.
Yeah, it's a big crisis of his life and how so many different things that are going on center around this or come to a head, at least around this.
Yes.
So yeah, very, very interesting. I haven't read the book or any biographies on Enzo Ferrari, so I can't speak to the authenticity of this. I had a very brief dive into the driver Portago and his history a little bit, so that was slightly inaccurately portrayed, but overall it still seems like the gist of the content there was pretty accurate. So anyways, but overall, what did you think of this movie, Avalon? On the 9-point scale, what did you give this?
Actually, it's funny for me because I thought when I was rating it, I thought my point score would be a little higher than this, but I guess mine was 5.35.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
it has been a while since we had deviating scores, so I am excited to see why. I gave mine just above a 7. So it was 7.05 for me. So I'm curious to see how it's interesting because, so this was my takeaway after reviewing it, was okay, this is not my kind of movie, let's just say.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the kind of movie that I go and I say, oh, I really am into cars, or I'm really, you know, like, I appreciate cars in their own right, and I do appreciate driving a great car, but it's not my passion, whereas some people have a strong passion for cars. And there's a sense in which those types of people might be more interested in this than, let's just say, I am. That being said, so all of that to say is that my impression of the movie is going to be different than I think a standard impression should be. And I think that my takeaway of giving it a 7 was, well, it probably does deserve a 7. It's just, I probably would have given it slightly lower. And I wouldn't even say it's a bad movie. I still think it's a good movie. I just don't think that it's not one of those ones that really sticks out to me as like, oh, a fantastic movie. It's just probably where it deserves to be. And because the rating system helps temper my personal emotions into rating it, I think it gave it a better rating than I would have if I was simply flying by the seat of my pants and saying, oh, this is, you know, a trash movie or whatever, because I didn't feel like giving it a good rating. You know, that's my big takeaway from after looking at it. But let's get into the details. What did you think overall? It starts off with this character, Enzo Ferrari. He's sleeping in bed, and he leaves and he goes to the office. And it sounds like a pretty typical day at the start of it. How did you think of the opener once you saw that?
I mean, I actually kind of gave it okay points here because it wasn't a boring opening. It's kind of giving you an insight into this man's life and into the world he resides in. Because it's like, it shows Enzo Ferrari's like the beginning of his day. You see his wife waking up. You see other characters here and there, like getting off the train station, like, and like phone calls and everything as like he gets into the office to start his day. So it's like, but the way it's all handled, the way it's done, it was somewhat interesting. I was like, okay, what is like, cause there was almost like the sense of things happening while at the same time, even though it was mundane things, it was interesting things happen. Something was going on. I was like, and it got your attention. I was like, okay, what, you're like, you're curious to see what everyone is all excited about.
I think that's a good point. My impression of that specifically was it did seem like an everyday situation, but there was just a couple things going on that seemed off just enough that you were like curious. Okay, what's going on? Like the way he leaves the house being, was it, I think at the end of the day, it was more him being respectful of the people at the home, trying not to wake them as he left. But I wasn't sure. It was like, oh, is his car, like, why did he push start his car before he, you know, drove it away? Was he trying to, does his car not work? Like, what's going on? So I think then there was also like all the people were trying to talk to him that he was running away from, not talking to, or trying to avoid having discussions with. And then of course the introduction of his wife in his home and all that stuff is a whole, it gets more and more interesting as it goes on. So it wasn't like, it wasn't the best opener, I would say that, but it was very interesting to see. There was just a few things that were off, I thought, that got you engaged. Like, oh, well, why did that happen? That's very interesting. I don't know if you really thought that added to him as the main character, but they did have some hints on that as the main character. Did you think that they started off Enzo's character right at the beginning of this movie?
I say they did. I felt like, so, I mean, I'll be honest, like when I was reviewing this movie, another movie came to mind, though, more like just comparison's sake, though it wasn't like, they were vastly different in some regards. Was Napoleon for some reason.
I was just thinking that.
I was thinking that too. But I think it's just because this movie, unlike that one, I feel like characters had more compelling reasons like to root for them. Like there was more nuances to all these different characters that were inhabiting these different scenes, this life, this world that we're being introduced to. And so it's like, you're not given like stoic characters. You're given depth and personality to each person as that you come across them. So it was like,
right.
So like he, unlike like, so the main character, like he has like motivation. He has nuance. He like, he cares about certain people. He has dreams and desires. So it's like, he's, but he's also like, he's arrogant in some regards. Like he's just like, he very much like hypes himself up, his company up. He's like the Italian way, all this other stuff. But it's also like, he's also willing to take the blame. He's also willing to do what needs to happen to advance his goals and whatever. So it's like, he's not willing. It's not that he's too prideful to take a low blow or something. He's willing to, but he's also very much like a self-promoter, I guess. I don't know. I guess maybe not. He is a self-promoter, but I don't know if that's a flaw, but it's, but like his character is like, it's not like a perfect character. Like he has some issues, and yet even the affair that's introduced very early on, where it's like, okay, clearly he's like not faithful to his wife. So,
Yeah. So I pulled up my thoughts on Napoleon when you said that, because I was thinking it's very true that this is also at least a pseudo biographical story similar to Napoleon. They're both following historical characters. Both of these characters are very arrogant. They have their own things they're trying to fight for, and they want control and power in some ways. But I would say that this movie stands far and above Napoleon in my mind.
Yes.
Even though I personally love war movies, I think that I get engrossed with those a lot more easily than say something like this. But at the same time, I would watch this before I watched Napoleon any day. And it's interesting to be like, okay, so why is that the case? Is it the lack of focus that Napoleon had? Because he was still compellingly flawed. And maybe we'll get to character arcs.
Well, I think overall, like, well, I mean, not in every way. And this is, we'll get to this a little bit. But I think this movie maybe had a little bit more focus, perhaps, than the other. Like, not only was it compelling characters, but because it was focusing on a snapshot of his life during like a particular like week or a few weeks of his life, it's like there was more cohesion to what was happening. Like there was like, you kind of got a better sense of what was happening, I guess, whereas with Napoleon it was jumping all over the place, and it was very disjointed. Like it was very it just wasn't as interesting, I guess. I don't know how else to put it.
Right. Well, it's like, let's just draw a quick comparison here, and this is going to do a broad summary of the story overall. And I think this could be helpful, so that's why I'm willing to go down this path. But you have Ferrari's life, his personal life, right? His romantic relationships and his children and all of that. Then you have his somewhat business life, which could be compared to Napoleon's political life. How did that happen? Did you do that?
No, I don't know what happened. I was just as confused as you were.
That is so weird.
Did you just get a text message?
I don't know. That's a good question. For those of you listening, a bunch of balloons showed up on my screen. So odd. Okay. Well, anyways. Gosh, I lost my point. Ferrari. So he has his personal life, right? He has his business life, and he has his, like, the racing life. And if you were to compare those to the personal life of Napoleon, his political life, and then the war that he was always involved in, you have three distinct aspects of his life as well. And the question is, why was that so feeling so disjointed in Napoleon compared to Ferrari? And I think that it boils down to having a locus of focus. There we go. Let's hocus pocus this. And that was specifically the business being in jeopardy, right? Everything in Ferrari focuses around this idea that he is going to lose the company. It's going to go bankrupt. And so it's not that the romantic life of Ferrari was not important. In fact, it very much was, because of how the business was structured and the fact that his wife held half of the shares of the company, right? And he was having this affair at the same time. Or let's just say the racing aspect, because the publicity of the race was going to directly tie to him being able to get support to keep the company afloat, right? And so mm-hmm. all of those things were constantly being a reminder to you as the audience that all of this was connected and all of this was important to achieve an ultimate end. Whereas I think in Napoleon, each area was so separate that each area could have been its own movie or mm-hmm. could have been the central focus with the sidelines, and you weren't really clear which one was the central focus. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that that's just a lesson in being focused. I don't, like, you have to have a thing that the story's about, and when the story's about too much, yeah. it's not about anything. And that's what we saw in Napoleon. Yeah. And this is the perfect counter to that, because they very much didn't do that, and they did it well at keeping everything cohesive.
Yeah, at least relatively connected. So, like, better connected than what they did in Napoleon. Like, because it's definitely, like, you're right, where the relationship does have a bearing on the plot because of his wife being the co-owner. Right. Where it's like, and it does affect, like, the danger and risks involved for Enzo Ferrari are partly tied to his wife. And it actually made it a little confusing for me when I was reviewing it a little bit, because if you're going to put a villain in this movie, like, say, who's the villain? Like, mm-hmm. I was going to say his competitors, because that's, like, the standout, like, clear option. But it's like, well, based on how the plot is structured, would it be his wife? Because it was, like, it was a very, like, thought, like, I don't know. Like, that's a, like, because yeah. of the risks she brings to his company and to the plot, what's happening is like, like, I didn't actually know who the actual villain of this movie would be if you were to label a villain because of that. Like,
well, yeah, I guess the opposing force is that. So what did you end up deciding? Did you say it was his wife?
I was undecided. I mean, I actually just gave it like middle of the road, like point, like whatever, like 3 points, or whatever the thing was, because it was like, I wasn't completely clear like who the opposing force was, like, because I mean, it's almost like it's hard to say because of the circumstances who, if there really is a villain to this movie. I mean, it's just like, sure, he has rivals, they're out to beat him in the racing and sell more cars, do better company-wise profits and everything, and it's like, but also his wife is so heavily involved, and she's not really his enemy though. That's the problem. It's like, she's not really like she's a business partner. She doesn't necessarily want to see Enzo fail. It's just like, she wants to see the company succeed. So it's like, it's this very hard, like, it was like, just for the rating system, like, who do you, what do you say? I don't know.
Right.
So.
Well, it is interesting how much this comes up in the podcast. It's like, well, who even is the villain, right? I think that there's a sense in which you can have, it's more of a vague, like, situational loss. Where it's Enzo versus the world, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many things that are going on that are going against him in so many different ways. Ultimately, it's the situation of him losing the company. And that's not tied to necessarily his wife, though she factors into exacerbating that issue. But overall, he's in a predicament that he has to get out of. And it's, so I don't know that you can blame it on any one person. But is that, and maybe this should be, maybe it should be rephrased instead of saying villain, but more of threat to success or threat to the achievement of the goal or something like that. Right. Is that
the obstacle or something?
Yeah. Is that obstacle a compelling obstacle? And I would say that in this one, I thought it was.
Yeah. And I'll admit, I did give it high points for, risk of because there was definitely a high risk where it's like, clearly if he doesn't win, if the company goes under, he does lose everything. And it's like, that's like, it is like, he has a lot on the line in this movie, in this story. So it's not like, it's not pennies or whatever. It's like, he does have some things going on that I'm like, okay, he has to win.
Definitely. It's a big deal. And it's partially because, you know, he's supporting this family that he's keeping hidden, you know, out in the boonies somewhere. And then he's also has all these people that are relying on him for jobs, and he feels a lot of those things, but then he also feels this passion for racing. And, you know, he's like, we race so that we can make cars, not the other way around. Like all these other companies, you know, like that's what sets them apart. I do kind of think that distinction as a business distinction is a load of BS, but it did show his passion for the business, right? And that's, I think, mm-hmm. where he was trying to emphasize, is that he loves racing, and this almost helps mm-hmm. provide that more than anything else. So, yeah. Did you think that Enzo as a character stood for an ideal?
I was hard pressed to say he was. Maybe a desire to succeed, maybe ambition, but I mean, other than that, I don't know what else you would say. I mean, he's kind of just a guy, like, he's an ambitious man trying to succeed, like, push his company further. But it wasn't like he had a distinct ideal that he represented in the movie, per se, as far as, like, themes and ideas.
And for those of you asking, like, oh, like, why does it matter if he has an ideal or not? No, it's not that he needs an ideal to make a good story, but oftentimes the stories that stick with us are the ones that have these more long-lasting concepts that we can then take into our own lives as we're thinking about, oh, what makes a great leader? Oh, they're a leader who sacrifices, or they're, you know, a leader who speaks their mind, or, you know, whatever other number of lessons, like life lessons you could take with you. There's almost a sense in which when you can provide that, that's what helps it stick around. That's what we see in myths and legends and all those. They oftentimes have some sort of lesson tied to them. Mm-hmm. If you want to go to the hero with 1,000 faces. Anyways, that's a whole different topic for the story nerds out there. Where was I going with that? The point being is that this is one of those, let's try to distinguish the good from the great kind of stories. I can see what you're saying. He doesn't really stand for an ideal. I wanted to really say, I gave him a little bit of points for this, but as you talk, I think that might just be trying to placate what I saw in the movie, in that he's an ambitious man, right? Enzo Ferrari wants to see his business succeed. He has a huge love for racing, and he doesn't want to give up this, what he sees as a legacy being built. But at the same time, he also has these other admirable qualities about him, in that he does very much care for his son. He very much cares for this family that he's started. He cares about some of the people he works with a lot, and making sure that the people that he's provided jobs for have that life. He really cares about racing, and he's really passionate about that. So there's some things that I would say are good qualities about him, right? It's not like he's a man who's devoid of admirable qualities.
I just go back to my first point, like, at the beginning, because I was trying to say he was a compelling character. He is fully rounded, where it's like, he might be ambitious and prideful in some regards, but he's also a man who feels things. He's empathetic. He is compassionate. I mean, they show him early on in the movie going to his son's, the mausoleum or whatever, like his son's son is, his remains are being kept. Yeah. And it's like, you see him break down, like he's talking, like, even though his son is dead, he's like clearly like almost like praying, talking to his son, and he breaks down crying. Clearly, like, he is, like, he cares, and he does, like, feel things. And, like, you're given depth into his character, and that he's not just, he's not just this lofty man. Like, he does have, like, goals. He does care.
No, I think you're absolutely on the money there. What I was trying to do was verbalize my thought process after hearing what you said, right? And I think that you are 100% correct. He is a well-rounded individual, but I don't know that that means that he stands for something when it comes to ideals. Like, does he really support this thing that he wants to push forward in life? Other than his business, not really. So it's hard to support that point. That being said, this goal for him, did you think that keeping the company alive, is that something really important for him? Is he fighting for small pennies, or is it a big deal to him personally?
Well, no, it's a big deal to him personally. I would say that it's, I mean, in a way, I mean, it is all self-serving. So, I mean, it's very tempting to say it's small pennies, because it's all self-serving in the long run for himself. But it's like, he is trying to, in a way, he is trying to make history, where it's like, he's trying to enter his name, his company, into the record books, into the, like just create records with his race cars, more or less. So it's like, he's trying to get a win, and in a way, he's still racing. He's trying to win, and try to get his name out there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good way to put it. It's interesting to think about how to think about this, maybe partially because in some ways this motivation is selfish, right? Very self-serving, very self-motivated. But at the same time, you get that tangential connection where people say, oh, I'm also doing this to, you know, let's just say support. And I know I've already said this again, but just to emphasize some of the themes or ideas presented in this movie, he's also doing it to provide for his family. And that's important to him to keep the racing alive, to support the people in his company, all these other ideas. And so it's not completely devoid of other explanations that it's not wholly self-serving, but at the same time, it is mostly self-serving. So, you know, it's almost like how you talk to people, right? And they'll give some grand reason why they're doing something. And then you talk to them later and they'll be like, oh, I was just really pissed off about this thing. Or it's, or they tell some story about how they got burned by this in the past. And you're like, oh, this is just revenge. Or this is just you being a little butt. You know, it's not like an actual altruistic motive here. This is just you doing this because you have some thorn in your side that you got to get this done. So I guess if you look at it, it's almost that kind of sense where he speaks some of these altruistic ideas, but at the end of the day, he's pretty self-serving about it. Would you say that's pretty accurate, or what were your...
Yeah, that's pretty much the same way summary I came up with.
That makes sense. What did you think about the movie when it comes to consistently throwing Enzo in a worse situation as the story progresses? Did you think they did that well?
Yeah, I would say so. And I did give it quite a few points here, because as the movie progresses, like, there's definitely a sense of like things are coming to a head, where it's like, because it's like he loses his first driver very early in the movie, the race, so he needs a replacement. So he gets the one guy who just comes to him, who's like the young hotshot.
Yeah.
And it's like, there's definitely this thing where it's like, the cars aren't performing as well as they want to when they're doing the testing. So it's like, he's pushing, like, we need to go faster, we need to do better. And then it's just like, they see the competition ramping up, they see like the taunts from their competitors, their financial troubles are getting worse. And there's, and then his wife finds out about the secret wife and, well, not the secret wife, but like the secret son that Enzo has from this other woman. And like, that just adds the troubles and everything going on. And it's like, as things just keep getting worse, like the tension amps up as the movie progresses, where it's like, he's like having, dealing with more and more problems. He doesn't catch a break.
I thought a lot of the same. I'd give it highest points that I've ever seen, but I give it very high points on here, because they, everything in this movie is not like, every time he's making progress in this terrible situation, it seems to come with some drawback, or as some disaster occurs, like his wife, like you just said, finds out about his son, or, you know, he's trying to get full basically rights to make a deal with a businessman, right? To get injected some money to keep the business afloat. And when he's talking to his wife, he says, I need to buy you out so that I can have control of this company. And she, you know, doesn't really like him that much anymore. She almost shot him at the beginning of the movie, right? So she's not just gonna hand over the keys to the kingdom. So she's, you know, says, all right, I'll do this, but then you have to do X, Y, and Z, right? You have to give me the ability to cash a check worth, you know, $500,000 that could put you insolvent, right? And that was, you know, there's things like that where it's like, okay, you made progress. Now you can make this deal you need to make. But at any moment, she could cash this check and you're done. And that was like, you know, so all of these situations they put in that just made it, okay, this could get real bad real fast. And they did that excellently in this movie.
I mean, the only thing I'll say in negative regarding the tension in some things is that there's definitely some scenes for me personally, I could tell things were about to go bad. Like, you could tell, like, at some, and most of the time it was like, okay, yeah, something bad's going to happen here. For me anyway, I don't know if that's an average audience thing. Maybe it's just because, like, I just have this like sixth sense where, like, I'm watching a story and it's just like, because I've done that a few times, like, I'll figure something out before everyone else in the room does. And it's like, okay. So there was a few times in this movie I was like, oh, something bad's going to happen. And then something right. bad does happen.
Well, yeah, I think the first one, so at the beginning of the movie, when the new driver is trying to convince Enzo Ferrari to take him on, Alfonso de Portago mm-hmm. says, you know, he meets him at the racetrack and he's like, I'm not interested. And you see the initial racer testing his car around the track. And mm-hmm. that one, I felt like there was, okay, for sure, something bad is going to happen here. Even though, you know, everything's going fine, blah, blah, blah. You just could tell. And then the crash occurs. I think the bigger thing is that, and maybe this is just a lesson in just that, creating that gap in a story, right? Mm-hmm. The distance between where you are and where you go in a short period of time creates such a jarring effect that you are just stunned. So I think the crashes in this movie really got me, not because I did or didn't expect them, because of just how they occurred. Because everything's super serene.
Oh, no, yeah. I mean,
if you've been in a bad crash, it is very much like this, where everything's just fine, everything's going great, you're just driving, then all of a sudden, boom, you see the car flips, you see the driver literally fly out of the car, you know, and the car just crashes against the concrete building back mm-hmm. there. The body scrapes along the cement, and it's done. Like, it's gruesome, it's bloody. Like, that gap between driving, everything being perfectly fine, and then the horrid disaster afterwards is such a jarring effect, and they just, that tension, I think, is what shocks you more than anything else. Mm-hmm. Is that a good thought process? I don't know. I just
that's a very good thought process. I mean, I've only been in a few minor accidents. I've never been in like a major accident, like what happens in these movies, uh-huh. this movie. But
well, yeah, not like this, because, well, I mean, we're both still alive. So, gosh, that's so bad. Go ahead. Sorry.
I haven't been in a car that flipped over. Let me just put it that way.
Sure.
Or anything like
sure.
that. So, no, but I was just going to say, the car crashes, like, even though I could kind of tell when they were going to happen, like, I could kind of tell something bad was going to happen, it's, like, still, they, as you said, like, they're so horrific, like, what happens? It's just, like, it shocks you and stuns you, where it's, like, oh, it's way worse than what you're expecting. So, like, especially the crash at the very end, which is just so, it was, like, might be one of the worst car crashes I've seen portrayed in a movie
ever.
Like, I can't even think of a movie that has a worse car crash scene than what I saw in that movie. I was like so stunned at the violence that was just shown to me. I was like, oh my word, that's awful on so many levels.
Yeah. And you know what it is? I think it's because on that one, so for you who are listening, and this is interesting too. So this has to do with surprise endings. Were you surprised by that crash?
So here's the deal. When the scene prior to that scene, when he's at the stop, they mentioned the tires. Like, can the tires get me? Like, they make such a big deal about the tires in that scene. It was one of those things, like, as a storyteller, I was like, it clicked. It stuck in my mind. And as they're driving down the road, like, they have these shots of him driving. There's, like, this brief moment where they have the shot where he races by, and there's something on the road, like one of those divider, like, hump-like things. Like, it's a metal thing in the road. And as soon as they showed that, I was like, crap, he's going to crash. Like, it's only, like, something with the tires, and that, like, it clicked in my mind in that moment. And then, furthermore, like, there's, like, beautiful shot, like him, like driving, like going fast, like driving. It's like he's in the moment. The driver is like loving what he's doing. It's like, it's almost like the thrill of racing. And then it's like this really like cool, like almost like beautiful shot. Like, and almost like that was another trigger. It's like, oh, they're like heightening things up, like making things look really positive. And then the next moment after that, there's a slow-mo shot of the tire coming across one of those metal things. The tire pops, the car goes flying, it hits a phone line, spins through the air, and next thing we know, we see it tumbling through half a dozen people and bystanders on the side of the road. And it's like, oh my word.
Yeah. Well, and that is the thing that really got me, was just I think in a lot of movies where you see someone hit something, it's almost, well, one, it's either comical, so it hits them, they go flying, and they just get back up, and they're like, oh, I was perfectly fine, you know? And so you don't really think much of it. Or in other situations, someone gets hit, but you don't really see the aftermath of what occurs. You just see, or you don't see the actual follow through. Maybe that's what I'm looking for. Like, you'll see the bus hit something, and then you'll go over and you'll see the body on the ground, right? In this scene, you literally see everything happen. You see the car fly up, you see it fly around, it spins, and plows through everyone. And that was just, like, terrifying, especially because then you see the aftermath, and it's not pretty. Everything's destroyed, and he's in half. That's the other thing. That's it's a nasty, nasty scene. Which that was very accurate, according to what the brief research I did. Was he literally?
Oh, is it okay?
Yeah. Oh, wow. I don't think he was on the road. I think he was under the car, but he was in half. Yeah.
Dang.
So that is interesting that you saw that coming. I thought it was. So I was surprised by it. I wasn't surprised that an accident occurred, because you're right. When they did say the thing about the tires, I was thinking, okay, he's going to have some sort of obstacle with the tires. But I was almost thinking maybe, because we were maybe Anakin Skywalker from Star Wars, where, you know, he fixes the pod racer in the middle of the race and gets back at it. And that definitely was not the case. But so... It was interesting because I was maybe, I don't know if this was intentional or not. This is just how I watch the movies. I don't take notes in the middle of the movies, but there was some sort of mental almost checklist that was going on in my mind when I was watching this. And this Alfonso de Portago, or Portago, he was this character that was somewhat of a foil for Enzo Ferrari, right? And he's not the main character, but he was one of these subplots where he's developing, and he's going to almost, like, in my mind I thought, okay, he's going to represent the Ferrari line and show the audacity and bravery of this brand by, you know, cutting through and winning this race. And I think that was very clever misdirection for me, because they put it at just the right spot in my mind, where it goes, okay, he's not winning, but he's got that underdog spirit, and he's got a couple tricks up his sleeve that makes him kind of the opportunity to rise up in this underdog spot and take the gold, right? And so I thought he was going to overcome some obstacles, prove everyone wrong, and win the day, right? And then that was going to help support the Ferrari line. And then when it plays out very differently, where his ambition and his, I have to win this race, ends up being his downfall, because he doesn't get the new tires. Actually, it's not clear if he would have actually.
Oh, no, the movie makes it clear. The movie makes it clear it wasn't the tires of the problem, because when the police come to investigate at the very end of the movie, it's like revealed that something cut the tires on the road. It wasn't, the tires were fine. So even if he had changed his tires, it's questionable whether it would have actually done anything. Like, it might have still analysis. Happened. Yeah. Yes. So, I mean,
all that to say is that I think they set up this arc well in my mind. And I was like, okay, they're going with this arc. It's looking pretty whatever. And then they just twisted it and went, oh, no, he's dead. And actually, Enzo looks really bad now, because his new driver just killed a bunch of people in this race.
I'm not sure you might be right about him being a foil, though, because I didn't actually think about this, but he might be like a foil in a way where it's like he is like the ambitious racer, like Enzo was. But Enzo does talk about how he survived certain races at key moments in the movie, whereas some of his friends did not, where it's like they died. So it's almost like this impression you get from those scenes where it's almost like he should have died, but he didn't. So it's almost like maybe it's almost like that you could argue to say he is the, like, what should have happened to Enzo when he was like, he's the mirror of Enzo if he should have died or something. Maybe. Like, I just thought of that. I'm not sure how.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he is. Maybe not. I don't know. Like, I literally just thought of that as you were talking about that.
Yeah. He was a very interesting character regardless. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I thought that I think there's also a lesson in which he's portraying, if he represents the business and where it's going, there's disasters right around the corner, right? And that there's, you can look like you're about to succeed and then everything goes to crap in a second. And that's what happens to him. It was, I think, and this is just as a side, but if that was the, if that was the main plot, I think that that would be terrible. But because it was a side plot that played into creating a disaster for the bigger plot, it was an excellent, excellent use. And that's maybe just making sure that there's a distinction there, because you don't want to necessarily just, you know, throw the race away for no reason. You have to have a reason.
Well, he wasn't the only racer for Ferrari in that race. So, I mean, it wasn't like he lost the race. It was just, he was one of the racers for Ferrari, and he just, through an accident, he creates a tragedy for the Ferrari brand.
Yeah.
Because in that race, I mean, slight spoiler here, but what a Ferrari racer does win the race, but it's the older guy, the, what's his name?
Right.
The, he's the one who wins the race at the end. But like, this is before everyone finds out about the car crash.
The one that is kind of the established, okay, this guy's the man who can win these races, who's kind of barely mentioned, ends up being the one that ends up surviving and taking home the gold. But yeah, it was interesting to watch. What did you think, kind of shifting gears a little bit, of the situation with his wife at the end where she cashes the check?
I thought it was interesting. I mean, it definitely plays out from her perspective, like some of her desires and wants. And like, it does, it's a little surprising, like what she does with the money. So I, if there was a surprise ending, it comes from her in a way where it's like, she does cash the money, which is like, oh no, like things just went from worse to even like from the frying pan into the fire. It's like everything just went really bad, just went really to crap.
Yeah.
But then he goes to confront her and discovers she still has the money. She didn't do anything with it. She just has it. And she's going to, she's putting him in a new situation where it's like, because she's discovered about the secret son, about his affair and everything. And she's like, and they just lost their son. So she's still upset about that. And she's like, here's the deal. Like, I'll fund you. We'll fund this business. Keep going. But he doesn't, the son does not take our name. He doesn't, like, while I'm still alive, he doesn't take on the business. Like, he doesn't become, like, associated with us.
Right. He is not a Ferrari.
Yes. Like, she is putting him in a situation where it's like, you take this or you lose everything.
Well, it's like, do you, because it's very clear to him, especially with the loss of his
It also puts son. Her in a position of power in back right. In like
well, especially because the children play such a key role in his mind, where he's already lost this one son and he's lost all these friends along the way and all of this stuff that weighs on him heavily. And so his son is very important to him, and he really wants to be the father for him, especially as he's trying to grow this business. And his son clearly has a passion for cars. So let's just, you know, make him one of the family, more or less, is where you see he wants to go. He just doesn't know how to deal with his wife. And that's one of the side contexts or plots of this movie. And this is where it comes to a head, where it goes, well, if you want to keep this business alive, you have to basically not, you can't align your son's name with our name until I'm gone. And that's an interesting thing to hold in your hands, right? Do you choose your son and giving him your family name, or do you choose keeping the business alive and, you know, giving people these jobs, keeping yourself in the racing industry and all of that stuff? And it does seem like a growth opportunity for him. Did you think that this was a situation where he grew through, and like that decision specifically, what did you think of that?
Not really. I mean, if you guys say that's a character change, I don't think it's a character change. I think it's just him being pushed against the wall, forcing him to not do what he wants to do, I guess. Which is like, it's not really like, if she hadn't made that thing, he probably would have tried to give his son before then, like the Ferrari name or whatever. I mean, I'll be honest, like in my opinion, looking at this movie, Enzo Ferrari doesn't change as a character. From beginning to end, the same Enzo Ferrari you start the movie with is the same Enzo Ferrari you get at the very end. It's not like he goes through a lot of hardship. He definitely struggles, sure. Like, and there's definitely things that happen, but he doesn't change. Like, he's still the same guy overall the course of the story.
Yeah, interesting.
I mean, that was my big takeaway when I watched it and when I was thinking about it today.
maybe this goes back to part of him not really standing well for an ideal. So it's hard to make the case that he didn't grow if he wasn't growing toward anything in particular, right? Mm-hmm. I think, and this is me still thinking through it, right? I put down that he did. I thought that he did grow as a person, and part of that is just the difference you see in the beginning compared to the end is that Enzo Ferrari is a very controlling man at the beginning mm-hmm. of the movie. And at the end, he's having to learn to let go of control. Hmm. And that's what I saw him growing through. Now, the way that you see him give up control, I think the decision he makes at the end, you can question. And that's a justified thing to do. And I'll get to that in a minute. But the overall arc is that he's always like, I have to have control of this company. I can't have outside investors. Okay, well, if I have to keep it alive, maybe I do need to have outside investors, right? And then my wife can't know, you know, okay, oh crap, now she knows, you know, all of these other things. Trying to control who's racing in the race. Oh no, now my racer died. I need a new racer, right? And then, switching out racers in the middle of the race, like he does earlier in the movie. All these different things. He's trying to have his hands in every single situation. And in a lot of those situations, because he has his hand in it, it gets worse because he can't control it. And then as it goes toward the end, I think you see more and more someone who's starting to realize that he can't control everything. And that's where you see him trying to take the blame right in front of the news reporters. And he's like, if you're looking for a scapegoat, I'm standing right here. And that's where he's trying to acknowledge how the control he has led to the situation and where it's gone. And so, I think that him giving that decision of, okay, well, I don't have full control of this company. I'm doing this to support the company because I love the company and I love my job and I love this industry. But I can't acknowledge this child as with my last name, is part of that acknowledgement. Now, I don't love the decision itself, but I think that that's the overall arc. Does that make sense?
I could see where you're coming from as far as like saying maybe it's like a whole control, like that's this whole idea of like him giving up control kind of thing. I don't know if I agree with that, only because I feel like his like whole scapegoat thing wasn't exactly like done in sincerity. I think it was more like frustration at the situation he was in, where it's like, I am like, he can't get a break. He can't win. So it's almost like in irritation and arrogance, he's like, look, fine, fire at me. Like, take your best shot. Mm-hmm. Like, cause he's just irritated at what life has thrown at him now. So,
yeah. And I could see that. I mean, he also says that the reporters are either, you know, going to glorify you or vilify you mm-hmm. at any given situation on the flip of a coin, you know. So that I think that his opinion of the reporters isn't super high. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's you're not necessarily wrong there. I don't know that specific situation is the end all say all for. Mm-hmm. His character arc, but I think that's potentially an example for why him learning that he can't do it all. Mm. Anyways, I think the bigger thing for me is whether he does or if he doesn't, that decision at the end, I didn't love necessarily, partially because it's a very, well, I mean, at the end of the day, if it's a message, the message was to choose your business over your family, which although is so, I mean, giving your son the Ferrari name is a symbolic gesture more than anything else. So it's not like that big of a deal. But mm-hmm. if you're talking about the symbolism of the movie itself, the symbolism was saying that he would choose his job and racing over his son. Mm-hmm. So I didn't love the actual decision and like what all that connotates.
That's why I said he was being forced into the wall, that kind of decision, because the other thing to keep in mind is that he's also supporting his son and his son's mother indirectly through his business. So if he loses the business, they're without support, they're without money and food and everything. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's not just like by doing that, either like he loses everything, including supporting them, or he just doesn't acknowledge his son till after his real wife dies. And right. it's like, so it's like, it really wasn't like a question, like clearly like right or wrong, because clearly he wants to recognize his son, but at the same time, it's like, he has to support him, make sure he takes care of his son, make sure his son can eat and live.
Right, right. So, and that's why you can't fault him too much. I think my bigger frustration was more of the, like I said, the like symbolic gesture of it all. But in the reality, yeah. the nitty gritty, which is what we deal with in everyday life, is that it is a tough situation, right? You're absolutely mm-hmm. right. He's stuck between a rock and a hard place, and he has to choose between two terrible options, and mm-hmm. you know, he made the tough decision. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's easy to fault him, especially, you know, when you're in a hindsight's 2020 type of situation and it's dramatically portrayed like it was today. Anyways, I don't know if you have more to say on that or if you have anything to say on themes.
I mean, I think we already discussed themes. I mean, I don't really see much of a theme or an idea this movie portrays. I mean, maybe, as I said, maybe ambition, maybe control, but it's not like, it's like a slice of his life, more or less. I feel like you're getting a glimpse to someone's life. You're not really given like, and I don't want to say there was no point to the story, because I feel like when I was watching this, like there are definitely like, there's good characters, you understood motivations, there's like definite tension, the conflict and everything going on. I didn't see a point, I guess, maybe at the end of it. Like it was like with the themes and everything, I just didn't see what was the point of this whole story. Like what was like, I didn't feel like there was a good resolution in my mind. Like I just, when I saw the ending, I was kind of like, wait, that's the ending? Like this is how it ends? Like I didn't see, understand why. Mm-hmm. I needed to hear the story. The story is well told. And as you said, I would watch this movie over other movies like Napoleon, but at the same time, it's uh-huh. like, well, and maybe that's why it hurt my score more than yours. It's like, I didn't see the whole overarching point of right, the movie. Right. It was almost like it had all these good story elements in it, but it didn't have like a reason for it to stay in my mind, I guess.
And I could see how that would affect the score a lot compared to mine. I would definitely for myself stick with the control locus of a theme. So something along mm-hmm. like giving up control, you would gain what you would lose, or something along those lines, right? So I think that there is some value to it as a message, because I don't think it's completely devoid of those ideas. But obviously that's a point of disagreement, which is what is great about these reviews. Mm-hmm. Avalon can be wrong, and at the end of the day we can walk away and it doesn't matter. Just kidding. All right, so the ending, did the movie leave you satisfied? Do you want to watch the next one?
Next one, what?
Yeah, no, just kidding.
I wasn't satisfied with the ending. I felt the ending was too abrupt. Like I felt like there was more to the story. And maybe the whole thing, and maybe for me, I was thinking about it just now, like the climax is overshadowed so much by that car crash scene. Like when he wins the mm-hmm. race, like it doesn't feel like a victory. It feels like, oh, a footnote to the story mm-hmm. as the rest of the story is continuing on. And it's almost like they have the blurbs at the end where like after the final scene is like, they were like, they weren't charged with the
right, right.
accident. There was this and that. It was almost like an afterthought putting that in, and I don't know, I wasn't satisfied with how they did that. I felt like you could have done more to show us more resolution to this conflict, to what happened here, and it would mm-hmm. have probably felt more satisfying, the ending then. But for me, it was like, this was too abrupt the way you ended it. There was more you could have shown, more you could have told us to give this story a more rounded feel, to give a more rounded like perspective, I guess. I don't know, like,
yeah, I see what you're saying. I wasn't really maybe looking for that, so I was okay with that. Mm-hmm. I was satisfied. I would not say that I was waiting for the next one or super excited for something else to show up, but I was definitely, I thought that the ending was a little bittersweet where, okay, he kept it all and he's taking care of his son, And, you know, life moves on from this tough situation. So he survived, right? And he didn't necessarily thrive in the middle of it, but he made it through. And he still has his family, and everything is still plugging away just like he was hoping. So was it a very nice tie in a bow, great climactic? Yeah, we have won and survived. You know, this is no Braveheart freedom call. You know, that's not what we have here. But it definitely was a little more of a bittersweet ending, and I was definitely on board for it.
Well, I mean, for bittersweet endings, I feel like you could have a more rounded, like, better closer.
Sure. So what are you thinking of specifically when you're saying you'd like to see, what would you like to see in the ending?
I mean, I wasn't just specifically thinking of the ending I'd see in this movie. I mean, I kind of said, I just like to see shown more like how like their company was acquitted, how like things like kind of go back to a state of normalcy. Like, because like the way the movie ends, it doesn't show them being acquitted. It doesn't show like them getting built back up, getting financial support. Like, it doesn't show like any of that. It just like cuts off like right after the confrontation with like a scene with his son at the cemetery. And it's like, I don't know, like it didn't give me a sense of normalcy, and maybe it's just for me, it felt too sudden after everything that happened. So, and I guess maybe like when I think of bittersweet endings, I guess I look back at movies like Cyrano, which I had a bittersweet ending too, and it just like but it like it felt more normal.
That was an early review, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, I mean, I think that's definitely makes sense. I was thinking of, what's the tap dancing musical one? I can't even think of it right now.
Did we review it?
No, we did not.
Okay.
Anyways, there's a couple different, it has Ryan Gosling, but anyways.
Okay. I know what you're talking about now. Okay.
I don't know why I can't think of it right now. Anyway, so La La Land. Yeah, that's one where I think of like a bittersweet ending. It's not, I think that's more bittersweet than this one is personally, or even Cyrano is more bittersweet than this one is, but it still has more of that wistful satisfaction is maybe how I would put it, where you go, ah, okay, well, that was nice, but kind of sucks. You know, that's kind of the feeling you take away from it. So that's that was somewhat my impression of this movie. I was okay with it. I didn't. I think that sometimes the side plots not being resolved as cleanly as the main plot, I'm okay with. The text, I agree, isn't ideal, but it is a way to resolve it without having to, especially because they wanted to put the focus on the family at the end. I was once again okay with it. But okay. I see what you're saying. That's all I wanted to say. I see what you're saying. I respectfully disagree, but I understand and I empathize. And that is all I have to say on that.
Yeah. I mean, I had some good things. It wasn't a bad movie. Don't get me wrong. I did think the movie succeeded in many ways where a lot of movies fail. But this movie, I just, as far as enduring, like as a movie, I think it'll last through time. I don't know if this movie will. I mean, if this, I remember this movie, I'm going to remember it more for the traumatic car crash scene than anything else.
I could see that. Sure.
Maybe that one guy's naked butt.
Yeah, that was very surprising.
The random scene of that.
The naked man just running in the room. Yes.
Yeah.
I don't generally like nudity in a movie, but I did actually just start laughing because it was so absurd. I was like, what's going on here? Like, okay, whatever. Anyways, did you, based on the discussion, would you change your review?
5.6, something like that. So, because it was at 5.35 before, so maybe 5.6 is where it'd be now.
That's good. I think you definitely encouraged me, and especially in regards to what he stands for and those kinds of things. My rating was probably a little higher than it actually should be, and you pointed that out well, so it wouldn't change a whole lot, but it's probably closer to 6.5 after this discussion, which is exactly what these discussions are for. If you can be persuaded, change a little, that's fine. That's what life's about. So that's it. That is the pod, everyone. We hope you enjoyed our installment of Ferrari. We will be back next week. See everyone next time.